Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have as my guest Hilary Ramo, who is a energy healing expert, clairvoyant, spiritual life coach, and a radio show hostess similar to myself. She studies many of the metaphysical topics that we have featured on this radio show and interviews some of the same people. Her work mixes astrology, world events, ancient cultures, sacred sites, paranormal, and esoteric systems into a unique tapestry of intuitive insight. Welcome, Hilary. How are you doing today?
Hi, Susan. Thanks so much for having me. I'm doing wonderful.
You're welcome. Well, this I've been looking forward to this interview. I've heard about you from several people, and I guess I'd like to start with your background and how you became, I guess, guided into the path you're currently on.
Well, I get asked this question pretty much all the time on my interviews, and people who listen to me have heard this before, but I'm going to give the short version, the important version, because I think there's a lot of important things that, you know, we can cover this hour. Mm-hmm. Basically, you know, for me, my beginnings were, you know, like everybody else's, struggling, seeking, coming over things that happened to you in your life that, you know, cause pain and drama, and learning how to navigate through those on the levels that, you know, I was taught as a child, and coming to a new perspective on what that even means. So over the course of my life, I began to, you know, look for questions on really the healing process and how to overcome the dysfunctional patterns that, you know, we have often in our families or, you know, in our caretakers and what we grow up with, basically. So it led me to pursue psychology in college, and, you know, it didn't quite answer my questions that I had because, you know, I just within the last 10 years or so, I've just really come out as a clairvoyant, you know, with the title slapped to mm-hmm. my face. but all, you know, people don't just wake up one day and become clairvoyant. You know, we all really have that inside of us. And so, you know, my intuition all my life was telling me there was more to what was being experienced, and the answers, you know, were there someplace. It was just a matter of finding them. So then I began a journey into alternative, quote, alternative healing, mm-hmm. Which I really think is the real healing that we...
Certainly it's going to be less expensive.
Well, yeah, that, and, you know, certainly we have been around for an awfully long time and haven't always been dependent on drugs and current, quote, modern-day, you know, medicine.
Yeah.
So I began to seek, you know, into different alternative, you know, Reiki, energy healing, mm-hmm. Shamanic healing, those kind of things, and I studied those quite extensively with some very profound and powerful people. And so my course kind of goes along that line, and, you know, the dramatic specifics really aren't that important, but what's really important is the outcome of that journey, and it's still unfolding even to this day. But, you know, for people, when they first meet me and they ask me that question, it's like, you know, I've had some very extraordinary experiences that have affected me in a lot of detail. And I've also had some very ordinary experiences that have affected me just the same. So really, they're all really special, and they're all really important. And it's a lesson to balance those two and to appreciate the spiritual insight that comes from, you know, specialness and ordinariness, so to speak. So that kind of sums it up, I hope.
Oh, thank you. I think it's important for the listening audience to realize that we all begin pretty much, at least after childhood. I think in childhood we're in a different world, but we start in the third dimension. And the third dimension, if that's all there is a very insane existence. And it doesn't really explain all that we are, all that we have the potential to be. And so really what the journey is understanding there's an energetic world out there that extends beyond the third dimension, and that if we work with that energy system and that paradigm, you can actually get a lot further than if you're just doing drugs, surgery, medicines, just to use healthcare as an example.
Yeah.
So, you know, you spoke about generational things, which I, in shamanism, of course, that's very important, is the generational energies, because you can't, we are not just islands. We don't just we're not third dimensional islands that are unaffected by the energies around us. And if you really want to seek and understand the cause of diseases like cancer and some of the more difficult diseases challenging to modern medicine, I think you have to explore this energy world that we're in.
Absolutely, because it's the reality of the way things really are. And once people begin to realize that we really are, and most of my work is based on this concept, that mm-hmm. we are, in fact, multidimensional beings, that we have a multidimensional experience with everything. So when we understand how our intuition and our own psychic development plays into that, then we have a map,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right.
It's a map to navigate through constructed paradigms that are man-made and not man-made. So, I mean, it's a really interesting ride, and I get asked that question a lot, you know, because psychic abilities is not just about being able to find, you know, your lost jewelry or to call somebody up and say.
Although it can be handy.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, especially if it's expensive.
I find charts all the time for my staff after they've just filed them.
It's an important, one of the things, Susan, I'd like to really get across to everybody listening is that psychic connections really is an open, you know, if you line to your intuition. And
right,
so, you know, if you don't have a good relationship with your intuition, that psychic line is most likely just closed down. It's not that it's not there. Psychic development is an extraordinarily important part of your health, because if you can't hear the messages that your own body, your own intuition is trying to get through to you, then there's a massive disconnect to the reality of the world. And, you know, this, you start out as you are in your lifetime, in your childhood, and, you know, you go through what you experience. And, you know, very few of us have a sparkling, spotless childhood, teenhood.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take those challenges, and it causes you to seek, you know, to be a seeker and to go out and find either answers to those things that you're experiencing. And really it opens up an opportunity for you to explore the healing process, if you choose to. I mean, some people don't do that until later on in their life. And you know, really, it doesn't really matter what age you are. But at some point, you get to a point where you just can't resist the natural alignment with the reality of life. So you have to kind of bloom. You know, you're like a bud trying not to bloom in some senses. People fight it very much. And when you begin to search and seek out those answers, you know, the first domino, I like the saying is that, you know, holistic medicine can be like the first domino. When you start having alternative, I like to call them traditional, actually. When you begin to have traditional healing therapies, then you have to start asking the question, well, why does this work?
Mm-hmm.
And the question, why does this work, then begins to, you know, have a domino effect, and all of a sudden the reality constructs start breaking down, because everything you've ever been told about health, your body, and the way the world works doesn't fit.
Right.
So there's a reason why, you know, there's so much resistance in the Western world for alternative, traditional, whatever you want to call it, holistic medicine
mm-hmm.
to become mainstream or to be covered by insurance, because it works and they can't explain it. They can't
mm-hmm.
explain it according to their constructed, you know,
reality set.
Their television. They, you know,
right.
they tell us a vision. They tell us
right.
a belief system. So
right.
it doesn't work according to that. And it would wake an awful lot of people up if that were the case. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, everybody out there needs to go out and throw out all their medicines and stuff like that. But I would like to say, question it. You know, learn how to tune into your body's intuition and feel what it is that it's trying to tell you. So the reopening of the intuition and the psychic channels are extraordinarily important to understanding how it all works. And then that leads into the whole everything is energy thing
mm-hmm.
and how we're connected and how healing really takes place and how interactions between people and relationships take place. And then it just begins to fan out from there. And we start to see a whole lot of things going on in this world that really don't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, that's very true. My patient population comes from all over the world, and they often are guided to me because of an intuitive, either themselves or sometimes their mother or family member, has an intuition that their chronic illness is related to their breast implant, chemical and biotoxicity from mold. And I cannot tell you the number of times they've come in and told me, you know, they feel they have a pre-malignant or a malignant lesion, or they feel that they have, you know, something else going on. And I'd be foolish not to investigate it.
Mm-hmm.
These are not random fears. These usually pan out to be true. Usually if somebody feels their implants are infected, they are. Usually if someone feels like an area in their breast is not right, it is often pre-malignant,
mm-hmm.
Sometimes malignant. But, you know, it really comes down to survival for a lot of people. People, especially with this chemical and biotoxicity, and have about a 50% mortality rate untreated. So if they do not seek treatment and figure it out, they probably are going to go ahead and die of an immune deficiency, cancer, infection, whatever,
mm-hmm.
Early, you know, in their 50s or 60s. And, of course, the medical field totally is denying that this exists, despite a large amount of evidence within the peer-reviewed literature that about what's going on, if anybody would bother to read it.
But it's because there's too much money invested into the system.
You think?
Yeah. I mean, you have big pharma, you have doctors, you know, they're
you
all
tied
together.
You have the FDA bought out by big pharma. And,
yeah.
And, yeah. Yeah, Dow Chemical is the number one chemical company in the world, especially if they bought Union Carbide. And if a systemic problem was found with breast implants, they would have had to pay out, I think, something over $1 billion more than they did. So a lot of money was at stake for not having the systemic thing brought forth. And myself and several others had touch and go with some corporate, shall we say, retaliation.
The corporatocracy, you mean? The corporatocracy? I like that term.
Yeah. Well, you know, they have a lot of money, they have a lot of power, and, you know, what it's given me an opportunity to do, as you might imagine, is really hone up on my spiritual protection.
Yeah.
Because now, you know, before I do certain things, I have to ask, I get warnings, I get do this, don't go there, don't do this, you know. All sorts of very strange things have happened
lately.
Which,
by the way, is also psychic channels open.
Oh, yeah.
And,
well,
you know,
it has to be. Yeah,
the spiritual, I mean, the spiritual, and you're very lucky, and so are your patients that come to you to work with you. Because I think if more doctors in this country, in this world, had that kind of a connection, we would be in a much different state. And it really, you know, you can pick apart so many different aspects of this, but what it comes down to is you're a perfect example of being open to your spirituality, which really does heal those psychic channels to your intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you go into whatever it is you're doing, whether you're a doctor or a teacher or you're working with, you know, a writer or, you know, you work at a cafeteria, it doesn't
mm-hmm.
matter, because those abilities will be helping to guide you with certain things. And it's especially important for parents to understand that, you know, parenting is such an incredibly wonderful mirror to how we are supposed to be. Most people, nope, the book said I can't do that. I'm supposed to be doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but every fiber in your being is screaming that the opposite of that is what you need to do. And you get to a point
right.
where you just throw the book out the window and you do what your gut tells you to do. And 99% of the time, it's right.
That's true. I think also that when a big problem is going to occur in consciousness, the solution is created at the same time that the problem is rising. And that's why I was guided to get breast implants. I like to tell people I'm actually a spiritual healer that was guided to be a plastic surgeon. I wasn't wanting to be a plastic surgeon. I was actually specifically guided into that,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting. And I was also spiritually guided to get breast implants so that disease would happen in my body. So as a medical intuitive, I would understand what's going on, because it's a pretty complicated thing. And without that, I'm not sure I would have, without the personal experience, I'm not sure I would have figured out as much as I did. So I think you're on a path. You have certain things that you're guided to do, even though people may not understand how that guidance will eventually lead you to.
Yeah, they
point.
Don't have to understand it. That's a big thing, and I'd like to speak on that for a second, because
sure.
I think it's really important for people to understand that when somebody else is going through something, the best thing you can ever do for them is to just listen,
mm-hmm.
and unconditionally love and support them.
Right, exactly.
Without any kind of judgment or speech. You know, people have a tendency to come into the, you know, well, this is what's happening to you and this
mm-hmm.
is what it means. And it's a form of spiritual arrogance, actually,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, I've seen it happen in a lot of spiritual circles where people will look at somebody going through a physical, you know, challenge or, you know, a relationship challenge or some kind of personal challenge,
mm-hmm.
and they have a tendency to want to tell the person why they're experiencing it.
Fix them.
And I think it's really important to understand that once you start to connect to these lines and you understand healing as a multidimensional thing,
mm-hmm.
that you need permission. You need permission from a person in order to offer them really
exactly.
anything.
Exactly.
Permission is a big deal, and you know that going into somebody's body. You know, you need to have permission to cut them open and do what you have to
or even do energy work on them.
Well, you it's the same thing with energy work.
Thing.
So, and it's the same thing with spiritual work too.
Right,
you have to be in. I don't ever work on anybody unless they ask me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't offer my opinion on a situation unless they ask me.
Mm-hmm.
And otherwise, they get a lending ear, and I'm present, and I'm fully authentic in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I just am present. And I think that's a lot of important qualities that we're missing. You know, everybody's so, you know, amped to run around and you know, do next
something.
Thing. Yeah, yeah.
Do something.
I mean,
well,
we were
in surgery for, I think, 12 hours yesterday, almost 13, and my tech and I were having a conversation along these lines. And I asked her, I said, there was a study done before the protease inhibitors came out for AIDS looking at all of the long-term survivors of AIDS because, as you can imagine, long-term survival would mean that you would need to really have a good immune system and good energy for that immune system, because without that you would probably go ahead and die of the disease, it being
mm-hmm.
fairly, you know, significantly fatal in a large portion of people. So they did a study, and they had like 50 different questions. And of the 50 different questions, there was only one question that differentiated the people who survived long-term versus those who didn't survive. And guess what that question was?
What's that?
Would you help somebody who hadn't asked you for help? 100% of the survivors said no. Isn't
that interesting?
That's so fascinating, because it's exactly what you said. Keep your energy.
Yeah, it's true.
Keep your energy in your energy field unless mm-hmm. you know where you're giving your energy to and it's appropriate.
Absolutely. And so once we begin to open up to the reality of multidimensional existence, we realize how connected we really are to everything, and how we lend or give away our power, our energy. I call it power because
mm-hmm.
we are like batteries. We're like eggs of energy.
Right.
And some are brighter than others. Some have learned to hold on to their energy more than, you know,
mm-hmm.
and others just have a tendency to give it away all the time. And neither one is an example of who's more evolved than the other. It's just a matter of different points of, you know, where they are on their path. And every
mm-hmm.
single one of those points is totally fine and acceptable. And we're not here to say you're less evolved than this person or you're,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's not about pointing fingers.
Mm-hmm.
It's about acceptance and just witnessing it and being able to see through it. And understanding it. I mean, I can sit in with somebody who's sharing an experience and not asking me for my advice or opinion, and I can totally see the connections. I can totally follow the energy lines to
mm-hmm.
the sources of what's going on, and I can totally read it completely. But I won't say one word about it unless the person asks. And
mm-hmm.
even then, you know, when you have the entire picture, usually, you can see that the person may not be ready to see that entire picture anyway.
Or they may not have the belief system.
Maybe they just aren't ready for
it.
They're just not ready. And
that's
you usually
right.
can notice when you start to talk to somebody and their face just kind of glazes over
mm-hmm.
and they just don't. You know that you're not getting in past that
mm-hmm.
point. Or they've wherever they're at, whatever their belief systems are, has shut that information down. So you just stop.
And I think we're all on a journey at different stages of education, but the same journey of energy management. And it is a multidimensional process. Some of us are very good at bringing energy in through meditation, through spiritual practices, through prayer, whatever you want to call it, we hook into the source of energy better than others do. Others tend to try to get it from other people,
mm-hmm.
or try to get it through conflict or drama, as you say.
Yeah.
Because you can steal other people's energy through certain, I guess,
manipulative moments.
Exactly.
and it may be conscious or not conscious.
Exactly.
People
it doesn't always have
totally
to be conscious.
Aware.
Right.
And the ones that you have to be really dangerous, weary of, mm. are the ones who know they're doing it. And they do it with consciously.
They practice and get better.
Yeah, but I have to say that if you practice
mm-hmm.
your ability to be at one with your intuition and your psychic
mm-hmm.
abilities, then it doesn't have an effect on you because you're able to see that energy for what it is.
Right.
We all know what it feels like to be manipulated by somebody. We
mm-hmm.
all know what it feels like to give our power away to somebody. We all
mm-hmm.
know what it feels like when somebody comes into our presence and, you know, has some other kind of intention or agenda. We can
right.
feel it with our intuition
right.
because our energy bodies are speaking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
There is no translation problem between energy. So we pick up on it. Now, we, you know, the brain, the observer, the part of us that translates that through the filters of our perception and our experience and our belief
mm-hmm.
systems, depending on where we are with those and what our relationship is with those, is going to translate it into, you know, a language that we understand or don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
So we're constantly walking around communicating with things around us.
Right.
And, you know, everybody knows when there's somebody really angry in the room, what that does
mm-hmm.
to the room.
Right.
You know, or if you walk into a room where there's been a big argument going on and they're not talking right now, the tension,
mm-hmm.
you can cut it with a knife, literally.
Right.
You know, you can say that, and, you know, we all know what that means.
Right.
And what that is really is your energy body talking to the energy that's in the room. Now, how do you shift energy? You know,
mm-hmm.
shifting energy is an extraordinarily wonderful thing that we're all capable of doing.
Mm-hmm.
Some people do it consciously, and some people do it unconsciously. Someone may
mm-hmm.
walk into a room where they notice two people have been arguing and start, you know, kind of trying to make everybody laugh to lighten the load up a little bit,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's a form of changing the energy. Some people work, you know, personally I work with calling in, you know, my guides and
mm-hmm.
the spirits of place that I work with, and that changes the energy. So, I mean, it depends on what your belief systems are and how to do that.
Yeah, and there's shamanic methods to block people's energy from affecting your field as well, zipping
Absolutely.
Up your field and all of these things. I teach people this all the time because, you know, certain people do tend to, you know, intrude upon your energy even when you're not with them. You know, it's like you said, the negative ones that are trying to either tap into your energy or tap into another person's, like a patient's energy, and that patient needs their energy right now. They don't need to be distracted by the things going on in the family that have nothing to do with their health.
Right.
And so you see these energetic things all the time. You see it in cancer a lot. You know, the whole family, everybody in the family thinks they know best what the cancer patient needs to do, and they fight over it. You know, it's like,
yeah. Yeah.
That's common. That's very common. So,
well,
but basically, you know, there are just real simple methods that people can learn to block these energy distractions or sometimes gross psychic connections that are meant to just take your energy, you know, because you happen to be a battery or a bright light, or even if just somebody just does that is a matter of course because that's what they do rather than tap into energy sources beyond this dimension.
You know, somebody told me this on one of my shows recently, and I quite enjoyed this. And we were discussing something similar along to this line, the line of conversation. And they were saying to me that, you know, when something like this comes into your, you know, space,
mm-hmm.
and it's certainly out there. I mean, we all can feel when somebody is sending us, you know, even negative thoughts. When people
yeah.
don't even
not
really
even around,
you know, or you if you're, and think about mm-hmm. it though, because. And I'll get back to my story in a second, but think
mm-hmm.
about it. You know, the minute you start having hate-filled, negative
mm-hmm.
thoughts about somebody, and you think you're sitting in, you know, your own home, you know, making yourself a cup of coffee, thinking all this negative stuff about somebody, and you think it's private and to yourself, and, you know, on the outside you're not
mm-hmm.
saying one bad word, that
mm-hmm.
energy is still being sent to that person.
That's right.
And that person is going to pick that up and perceive that in a variety of different ways. But
mm-hmm.
we have to understand how powerful our thoughts are, how powerful our emotions are. It's all energy. It's all different taints and flavors of energy, and we make a great combination of this stuff. And this person on my show recently has said to me, well, you know, when this kind of energy came into my space, I gave it the finger. And I said, well, that's really great, because, you know, it's kind of, I mean, it kind of just gives you an image of, you know, F off. Like,
yeah,
I just don't want
yeah.
to in my space.
Right.
And
right.
you know what? It cleared his space. It cleared his
yeah.
space. And that's kind of what we have to do. You know, if we feel something come into our space,
mm-hmm.
you know, we have to be in tuned enough to even realize that it's coming. And, you know, that can manifest in a variety of different
mm-hmm.
forms. You can be having a great day, and then all of a sudden, you know, your energy level drops. You,
mm-hmm.
you physically don't feel well. Maybe all of a sudden you start thinking things that just seem out of place according to what you're experiencing, you know,
mm-hmm.
at the moment.
You're sad for no longer, no
yeah,
reason.
Or angry
yeah.
or pissed
angry,
off.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you start swearing at your pet for no reason.
Mm-hmm,
I mean,
right.
you just, it might have some kind of, you know, unusual manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you just sit down and you just get yourself back into your own center of your circle.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you check in and you see what's going on and if it's coming from you. And if you don't feel that it's coming from you, then you just send it back to whoever's sending it. And you just
mm-hmm.
surround yourself in a protective light and, you know, you do
the
whatever.
Parabolic mirror.
Yeah, and you
all
do whatever you
right
do
back.
Whatever works. You do whatever
yeah.
works for you, because everybody has a different way of doing
mm-hmm.
whatever it is. And I really am a big advocate for people to connect with something that fills them, gives them a sense of peace. It's not about the right way or the wrong way of doing
mm-hmm.
things. It's not, you know, no one's way is wrong. And that's one of the things I like to really stress to, you know, when I do interviews or talks or something, is because if we just get off our own high horse sometimes and stop trying to look at every other person's ways of doing things and you know, picking it apart, leave them be.
Mm-hmm.
Let them do what they have to do. I mean, if people want to be negative and miserable, then that's their choice. If
yes,
people
yes.
want to pray to, you know, whichever God, let them. You know, because on some level it feeds them and it gives them a sense of peace. And
mm-hmm.
that, as long as that's what's happening for you, then I honor that in you, and I expect the same in return as I get to do what I want.
That's right. That's right. And we do have a choice, too. I know I counsel people a lot on this, that, you know, you have a choice about what people are in your life, except maybe your children, which, you know, once they come in, you're pretty much obligated, and your parents, you can't really change them. But in terms of other outside of family, we do have a choice about who we have around us. And if I'm not saying kick all the negative people or difficult people out of your life, because they're there for a learning purpose at
mm-hmm.
times, but you don't have to. You can choose who you spend time with or who you interact with. And people forget that. They think that, you know, if this relationship doesn't work out, they'll never have another relationship in their life. Or, you know, it you don't have to struggle. You can say, you know, have I learned everything that I'm supposed to learn from this? Well, if yes, then, you know, release the person in your thoughts, you know, release them and then see what happens. You know, quit holding on to things so tightly and relationships
yeah.
so tightly in spirit.
It is hard to do with immediate family, though, because
well,
as much as you would love to tell your parents that you're never going to speak to them again,
you really can't
it,
do that. That's right.
You can't.
That's
but
right.
But I mean, what's really important for people to understand with intimate relationships,
mm-hmm.
especially close biological family, is
mm-hmm.
that, you know, it's about learning what you need to learn from with them. They're helping
mm-hmm.
you, you're helping them. And it's about setting boundaries.
Yeah.
Having boundaries with the people. You know, if you're experiencing abuse from somebody in your family, and you can't physically leave them, you know, for example, a child or, you know,
mm-hmm.
a teenager, or, you know, from a family member, you know, a partner or spouse, you can leave.
You can, that's right.
But when it's somebody else in your biological family, and it could be not, abuse isn't just physical, it can be emotional,
mm-hmm.
it can be spiritual,
right.
and it can be
right.
mental. So if you're experiencing abuse from a family member on that level, you know, it takes a lot of act of power on your part, a lot of,
mm-hmm.
you know, belief in yourself, a lot of healing in yourself to be able to lovingly set up boundaries with that person
mm-hmm.
and to express them.
Right.
And to be able to deal with the emotions that each interaction, you know, invoke within you. Because
mm-hmm.
each time that you have an interaction with somebody like that, you're going to experience, you know, deja vu kind of feeling with the things
right.
that you've gone through before. But each time you have an opportunity to strengthen, you know, your own energy and to keep your energy and to hold your power and hold
just
your
stay,
energy.
Stay in the present
with each
and just deal
yeah.
with what is happening now, not react and let the person push your buttons and send you into, you know, states that are unpleasant for you.
Yeah.
And really, you know, it is a matter of detachment. I mean, and also a matter of the spiritual practice of sending unconditional love to difficult people in your life so that they shift in a way that is less, I guess, intrusive or, I mean, you can do yourself, you can work on yourself so your reactions aren't so extreme. But you can also do spiritual work so that they kind of stay away and they kind of change their approach to you as well. And,
through the
sending of unconditional love to that
yeah.
person.
We also, Susan, have to learn how to get mad, because I've seen a lot of people have so much struggle with repressed or, you know, just really stuffed away and anger.
And that's unhealthy for them.
And it manifests in a lot of interesting ways.
Depression
but I
and
think,
cancer, I think.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Repressing our sexuality, our feelings
mm-hmm.
of
right.
passion, and, you know, not even being able to express our truth at times, or
mm-hmm.
being heard or being seen.
Being afraid of rejection, being afraid of ridicule. That especially for people who are more spiritual, because if you tell people that you have certain thoughts or feelings, they can ridicule you, or they can say you're crazy. You know, I'm sure it's happened to you, where people.
Yeah,
to those people,
I say it's great. I mean, I am crazy
because I say the same thing. I've been crazy all my life.
I don't do things in the typical way, thank
that's
goodness.
Right.
And you know that, however mm-hmm. that appears to other people, that's okay. I'm also at peace with that because
mm-hmm. I am too.
The crazy thing, but you know what's really crazy, is believing that we don't have the ability to change our lives, believing that we are powerless people, believing that our bodies cannot survive without a pill, believing that we are helpless, hopeless, and doomed for destruction.
These people
That's
are trapped crazy. In the third dimension, and it's a prison. The third dimension is a prison, if that's all that exists. I mean, you're born, you live, you suffer, you die, and that's it. And at any time, you know, you could become quadriplegic if a drunk driver hits you. You know what I mean? Seriously.
Well, you know,
and it's random. It's all random,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Well, the third dimension is a wonderful place if you learn how to live in it.
Right. But you can't learn how to live in it only believing in the third, or only experiencing the third dimension. Your belief
yeah.
systems, you know, vary with the day, but I think your experience has to be that there is more than just what your perceptual organs are perceiving, and that you have to develop your perception so that you can learn to navigate better and have a better understanding of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think when we have our spiritual awakening and we start to seek into other,
mm-hmm.
you know, definitions of reality, we start to experience other dimensional reality.
Right, because you ask to, because you're not afraid of it.
Mm-hmm.
So many of those people trapped in the third dimension are so fear-based. I mean, I have seen doctors who at every little thing, they're afraid of getting sued, and then that completely determines their behavior toward the patient, toward their colleagues, toward everybody, and then guess what? They attract that energy to them,
mm-hmm.
and they're more likely to be sued. They don't even realize that by always putting that out, that's probably what they're going to attract.
Yeah, it's about balance, because it's about being able to discern what you do need to do in the physical world. The physical
mm-hmm.
world is a really important pillar in holding up your presence as a multidimensional being. You have to understand how to navigate it. You also have to understand that it's not the only element that you are. And once you realize that and you face the fear of letting go of that, then it opens up the other realities. And facing your fear is part of that seeking process.
Mm-hmm.
Where you actually start to step out of your conditioned paradigms that you're taught growing up, taught by the
mm-hmm.
school systems, taught by your parents' beliefs. You really, you really inherit your parents' belief systems. You inherit your religious
beliefs. They get to 24/7 for a while.
And then when you get to a point in your life where you are able to move out on your own, all of a sudden it's a big sense of freedom because now you can start making up your own mind. And that's very symbolic of what the awakening process is like. Once you begin to break out of those paradigms, you realize that you can now make up your own mind about your own truth, what you believe is truth.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then you go from there. But the fear thing, we're always going to be tested with some elements of fear according to what we're dealing with in any given time. But the fear thing is a wonderful opportunity and a very good enemy because it challenges us to break through it.
Right, right. You were talking before about how important mastering the third dimension is, and it reminded me of a quote. It does not behoove a man to be 1,000 years ahead of his time if he's 1 month behind in his rent.
No, it's true. What is master anyway? I mean, what does master really mean? I mean, the Buddha had a big Buddha belly and walked around life laughing at everything. And some people would look at that and say, "Well, he's fat.
Exactly,
can't be enlightened." And I have to tell you that regardless of any person's physical shape, they can still be at peace with whatever's happening. They can still be aware of what's going on, and it's just about, how they are in relationship to that. It depends on where they are in relationship to that. Well, paying your bills is a really important thing because we have to be, not overwhelmed with debt, not in collections all over the place, not having
waste of energy, isn't it?
Yeah.
If all your energy is going to where am I going to get next month's rent from?
Well, that's
you don't have
you
any spiritual development.
Fear. Yeah, you fall, and it's a very real fear. I mean, when
it
somebody's
is,
threatened with losing their home,
and they can end up on the street.
But then you can because if you understand energy, you can pull your energy back in.
Mm-hmm.
And focus on dealing with it in a very practical and empowered way.
Yeah.
And sometimes we think, there's a common perception out there, basically, that empowerment means, that you just float around like a glowing orb and you're perfectly above everything and, nothing matters. Well, I can tell you right now, if somebody borrowed $1,000 from somebody, and then when that person, went to collect that from somebody, and that person says, "Well, it's all energy anyway, it's all one, it doesn't matter."
Yeah.
I can tell you right now that's going to be a problem.
That's right.
It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, we go out, what is the purpose of enlightenment? Well, the purpose of enlightenment while you're in a physical body is to be able to go out, experience what that means, and bring it back. That's why I wrote that article, and I believe that you like, called Bridging Dimensions, because it's about going out, dreaming, and coming back and manifesting. It's about going back and forth between, an idea an idea of a creation and then creating it and then understanding how to work with it and then being able to let it go. There's these cycles that we have to learn to exist in. And I think it's really important that people understand that just because we feel like we have reached enlightenment, not to resent the physical body, not to resent money, not to resent, enjoying your living space, not feeling like you have to, just lay it all down and walk away from it. I mean, that just doesn't make common
sense. No, it doesn't. No, and I don't think that's what is happening in this day and age. I mean, 100 years ago, people went to the mountains and monasteries to achieve enlightenment. Maybe that was necessary then. But now I think people are waking up all over the place in all sorts of different circumstances. My patients are actually very interesting. When they have no money, I mean, really no money. I mean, they're living hand to mouth because they're so ill. They can't work. Some of them can't get Social Security disability, and they have leaking implants. Guess how they manifest getting their implants out?
I have no idea.
Car accident. Somebody else's fault. I see it time and time again. Because remember, the patients coming to me are, although they may not be in great financial shape because of their chronic illness, are often great manifestors.
Well, we manifest whether we know it or not.
That's
right. We manifest whether we're all good at it because we're all manifesting whatever it is we're experiencing.
But they know that. I mean, they realize when it happens that they manifest it. It's really
neat. Right.
Guess what?
Yeah.
I can get them out
now. They're out.
And somebody else gets to pay for it. Oh, well.
Well, it is interesting how that happens.
It is. I think it's fascinating. I think they're very clever. I mean, not that they did it consciously. I know they didn't. But subconsciously, they attracted somebody into their space that allowed them to get their breast implants out and to regain their health as a result of that, which is very interesting.
Yeah.
I'm a co-author of another book called Goddess Chef, Women Leading for a Change. I don't know if you've seen that one. It's a number of, I think, 42 women, Jane Fonda, Shirley MacLaine, Madonna, Angelina Jolie, Oprah, Michelle Obama, J.R. Rowling. Did you know that Ms. Rowling had, I think, 50 rejections before somebody accepted her first Harry Potter book?
I did know that.
Isn't that funny? Her chapter is called The Power of Persistence. But I know you're a great leader in terms of promoting the idea of the goddess and women gaining their power and being productive, I guess, agents of change in terms of what we're trying to turn the world toward, to be a more compassionate and less violent and less, insane place, and how the goddess fits into that. Would you like to comment about that?
Sure, I would. I just contributed to a book called Prophetic Voices. I'm a member of the Sisters of Hanoa,
mm-hmm.
and we're a real-life working sisterhood of women around the world from different cultures. And, you know, we gather at different times to do pilgrimage or ceremony, and sometimes they're public and sometimes it's private gatherings. And, you know, we do different seminar kind of like things, but they're more like sit around the fire kind of gatherings where we really just roll up our sleeves and get to work and do some serious talking and ceremony. And it's really amazing the times that we're living in right now. And I don't think that anybody on this planet has opted to come in for no reason. I think everybody,
right.
I think that everybody's here. I mean, I think, of course, this is true no matter when you've manifested, but I think
mm-hmm.
right now, particularly, every incarnate person on this planet has something that they need from this time frame,
mm-hmm.
because this time frame is so transformative.
I think they have a tremendous opportunity for spiritual growth that they may not have had in other times.
That, and they're also experiencing a physical, you know, change too, because
mm-hmm.
we're going through, you know, the place in the universe where we're going through now. You know, the galactic alignments, the protons, the photons that we're coming
right.
into, and all of those things. And for whatever reason, biologically, we need them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the women, it's not about a man versus woman thing. I want to make
right.
that really clear.
Yeah. It's a balancing of energies.
It's a balancing of energies, and it's also about getting back to understanding that bond between yourself and the earth. It's like a bond between a mother and a child. That it's a nurturing bond. It's a bond that you feel when you go out into your garden and you're working with your plants and you can hear them and you can feel them and you can nurture them in a give and take kind of sense from your
mm-hmm.
heart. This is not a new agey cliche thing, you know, where people can jump on board and try to make this into something. This is a real opening. This is a real happening. The consciousness shift is always happening. We're always
mm-hmm.
shifting consciousness on some level. But right now we're at a critical point where so many people are waking up that the collective consciousness is shifting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really incredible accomplishment.
Yeah,
and
it doesn't happen, but every 26,000 years, so that's pretty good.
Well, I'd like to think that we were probably all here the last 26,000 year run.
I'm sure we were.
I think that, and we needed to learn from the patriarch.
Mm-hmm,
the patriarch
right.
is in a death dance. You know, one of
mm-hmm.
my teachers said that a long time ago, and it's very true. And we needed to learn from the patriarch. We needed to learn how to survive in that kind of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's the time for us to go back to understanding the matriarch. And, you know, it doesn't mean that we're going to all start seeing men take women's last names when we get married and all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That probably won't happen. But what we are going to see is a change in our relationship with the earth and with ourselves and each other. And that's
mm-hmm.
going to be more of a nurturing, peaceful. It has to be. If it's not, then we're going to end up annihilating ourselves off this planet.
The scientists have predicted that. You know?
Well, the thing is, too, okay, well, the scientists, on one hand, are predicting a lot of things. And personally, I think the Earth changes that we're experiencing on one hand are being manipulated by weather manipulation programs and things along those sorts, absolutely no doubt in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other hand, we're also experiencing natural Earth change cycles too.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a combination of very interesting things going on this planet. And so as human beings who are biological and also, you know, multidimensional, we are picking up on these things. We are feeling it in a variety of different ways. We are feeling the electromagnetic changes happening both naturally and unnaturally.
Naturally, yep, that's
and
right.
We are also feeling the you know, when an earthquake happens on in Europe, of course we feel it here in the States. We feel it in our energy systems. We feel it. We know when earth changes are going to happen, when something's going to come, just like animals do. Again, going back to what we talked about in the beginning of the show, if your psychic intuitive channels are not working, you are going to feel it in a way that you will translate as anxiety. You'll translate it as depression, stress. You know, you'll become very toxic and dysfunctional in some of your interactions because you don't know what to do with this energy that you're feeling because you haven't translated it correctly. If you can translate it correctly and you can go sit out and, you know, you can do ceremony or you can meditate or you can do some, you know how to just be with nature, with the energies of this planet, which, by the way, is a feminine principle.
Right.
Being is a feminine principle. So we're having to go back from doing all the time, which is a male principle, doing, providing, going out, accomplishing, you know, doing. So many people are not satisfied or don't know how to understand and just sit and be quiet and be able to be still. A lot of people struggle with visualization, with meditation, you know, quieting their mind, being okay with having a Saturday afternoon and doing nothing. They feel guilty over it. They feel like they have to be producing something and or helping someone or go. This has become a chronic problem. And the way that chronic problems get addressed, as you know as a doctor, is something starts to break down. And somewhere along the line, we're going to have a breakdown of physical, emotional, spiritual, or mental, you know, avenues. Something along the line is going to crack. Now, if we have earth changes going on and we can be with the energies and we can understand them and we're connected back to the moon cycles and we're connected back to the plant kingdoms and the animal kingdoms and all of the other things on this planet, then we can communicate with them. You know, the animals will run from the shore when there's a tsunami coming up for higher ground because they can feel it.
Humans, and we don't.
Humans will sit there on the beach going, I wonder why they're all running.
That's true.
They'll just watch them. Well, that's
weird.
Well, and then the other person will say, well, so-and-so said that's a sign of, you know, animal contamination or something, you know, something. They'll quote somebody.
They'll rationalize it.
Or they'll just go back to their iPod listening to their music or whatever it is.
Right.
We have become completely disconnected from our natural cycles.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the feminine process of coming back into the sisterhood, the working sisterhood in the world, which we're all part of, is understanding what that means, the intuitive and the psychic connections for men and women. You know, we shut those down. We have shut those down over the last 26,000 years, you know, in various cases. And this is a time for us to now cooperate with the cycles, understand ourselves better, and consciously awaken up and heal and fix those things so that the line of communications are better.
Well, we are coming up to the end of our hour. Hillary, would you like to give some contact information?
Yeah, people can reach me at my website, hillaryraymo.com. That's Hillary, two L's, A-R-Y, Raymo, R-A-I-M-O.com. I have a radio show, the Hillary Raymo Show. You can find my interviews on YouTube. I have a big Facebook presence, and email is the best way. There's a contact page on my website. I'm available for private sessions with people. I have a couple events coming up. I'll be speaking at the Grandmother's Summit in New Mexico in October. I'll be in London and Netherlands in the spring doing some untrainings. And that is what I teach, by the way. I teach how to untrain the patriarchal lines of communication and how to reweave the feminine circle. So those are my signature. I call them untrainings because we really are untraining energy cycles. and
right.
untraining paradigms that aren't necessarily aligning us with our own truth. So people can work with me at those events, or they can work with me on Skype or by phone for phone private phone sessions along those lines. That's the best way to do it.
And you have a book, Money Matters, Understanding Your Relationship with Abundance.
I do.
A lot of people
spiritual.
Would probably like to get that right now.
No, I mean, what I did was I took a one dynamic that everyone can relate to and broke it down into a shamanic process, a shamanic healing process.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding our relationship with money mirrors other mm-hmm. issues in our relationships that we have with many other things, and it allows for some aha moments to happen, hopefully.
And you also have your DVD documentary, I think you mentioned this before, but it's called The Path, and it features interviews with healers and energy leaders of the day. And that sounds like something I might like to get and have on the show.
Yeah, The Path was a documentary I was invited to speak in mm-hmm. that we put together, and the producers have made that film into four different DVDs. And
really?
Well, the first one was called The Path Afterlife, and that was about life after death mm-hmm. and, you know, experiencing that. And then the next one will be released in the fall, and that's more about multiple dimensions and physics and those kinds of things.
Great. Well, I have a few announcements, but I really appreciate you joining us. It was a great interview, and I appreciate you giving us your time today.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Next week we have, I'm July here. I need August. There it is. Next week we have Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum back on. He's a fibromyalgia expert, someone who also had the path of the wounded healer by getting chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia and having to drop out of medical school. His new book is Beat Sugar Addiction Now. And then after that, Dr. Norm Shealy will be back with his new book, Medical Intuition, A Science of the Soul. And we have our Noetic Science meeting every third Thursday. This is the August 19th at 7:15 p.m. at the Dunwoody office. We'll be watching the DVD by Amit Goswami, the quantum activist. Dr. Goswami is probably one of the best physicists I've interviewed in explaining the multidimensional reality that Hillary and I were talking about, and especially explaining spontaneous remission and other things that relate to healthcare right now, things that we need to understand. If you want to get our newsletter, please email us at drkolb@mindspring.com. We'll get you on our email list for the Community Health Source newsletter, or call 770-457-4677 and add your email to the list. Hillary, thanks so much for joining us. I really appreciate you being with us, and we will be back next week.
Thanks, Susan. It was a pleasure.